It takes courage to love, but pain through love is the purifying fire, which those who love generously know. We all know people who are so much afraid of pain that they shut themselves up like clam in a shell, and giving out nothing, receive nothing, and therefore shrinks until life is a mere living death. Eleanor Roosevelt. Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to Beyond Storytime. This is your host, Nanu Sewan. I'm so glad to have you with us this evening. Moving on to little announcement. We will be having two recordings each month on the second Sunday and the third Sunday of each month. So be on the lookout for that. Subscribe, invite friends and families and foes to tuning. The goal is for every one of us to learn, to grow, and as I always say, everyone has a unique story. We're all unique, and God has a unique love story that He's writing for each and every one of us. So, as we listen, let's learn, let's laugh, let's share with each other. If you have any comments or questions, feel free to reach out. And as we are going to be going on tonight, we'll be hearing from the Johnson family, Teresa and Dre. So let's get to it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out. So Teresa and Dre, would you please go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and about your background before you met each other or came into each other's life?
Andre Johnson. I was born and raised in Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay.
I've been out here for about 13, 14 years now. I'm a father of nine.
Okay. There's nine of us too. That's cool. What about you? I'm listening.
Yeah.
If there's anything else you'd like to share, feel free to.
I grew up in the church.
Okay.
I grew up as a Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay.
And also Baptist church.
Okay.
That's the church my mother went to. So I'm on pretty much both sides of Christianity.
Okay.
I just been up here for 13 years. I've moved following my kids up here until they all graduated from high school.
Mm-hmm.
And now we just have one more to go, which is Bryston.
Nice. And then you'll be empty nesters.
Yeah. Yes.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about you, Tiffany? Here I go again, Teresa.
Johnson, born and raised in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
I'm the mother of, I have four children.
Okay.
And one goddaughter. So when we got married, I brought five children to the union, and he brought five. So we had 10 total in the house. I was raised in church, But like most people, you know, I'm raising a kid in church, and in and out.
Yeah.
And then once I got older, came back to the church, and then I'm the grandma of 3 here.
Okay.
And then my husband has, how many grandbabies you have now?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5
So we have 8 grandchildren.
With one on the way.
With one more on the way.
Nice. Congratulations. So, how long have you guys been married?
Going on 12 years.
Awesome. The first, let's say, the first year or so of marriage, how was it adjusting to the different background, combining different families? We do talk a little bit about that.
Well, we dated for 3 years.
Okay.
Before we got married.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were actually we actually lived under one household together.
Okay.
I think for the first couple of years, we were in the honeymoon stage, so like life was great.
Awesome.
Everything was really great. Like even our kids every weekend wanted to, we did our wedding at home, and we had the reception in our home.
Mm-hmm.
And so every week the kids wanted to reenact the whole wedding reception and so for about a month. I think we had a barbecue every day.
Oh, wow.
We had kids to barbecue and redo the whole wedding reception. So it was really great at first, you know, that first couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
I think as far as learning each other, I think we went through most of those things through the first 3 years that we were dating. This is my first marriage and my second. And so Dre was very adamant that we needed to make sure before we walked down the aisle, we were going to be together for 3 years first. And we used that time to like get to know each other.
Ups and downs.
Yeah.
Bad and good. But we made it through.
Awesome. How did you... well, I guess that can be one of the ways that you prepared, but what are some tips that you would give a single person going through that process? What are some things that they can do to prepare for marriage or prepare to be in a relationship?
For me, I had been in a lot of different relationships that all weren't all the greatest. And so I had come to a point in my life where I felt like I was just gonna focus on myself and my kids and not worry about ever. Like I always had said, I would never be that type to get married. And so one of the mothers in the church came to me and told me my husband was on the way, but God had told me, wanted her to tell me I needed to prepare. And I think for me, I went into prayer.
Yeah.
But then I also started like working on healing myself. Mm-hmm. I know that I've watched a lot of my family members have more than one marriage.
Yeah.
And that was one thing that I saw, is that they just took the old baggage from one marriage into the next marriage.
Okay.
And so it was really important for me to use that time to get close to God, And I think for both of us, that was something that was really important, was that our marriage be built on a solid foundation, and God had to be that person. So I just went into making sure, like, I went into reading books about, like, T.D. Jakes's The Lady Lover and Her Lord, and healing the princess within, because I was real, for me, I was very broken. And so I think by doing that and allowing God to just come into my life and asking him the direction. Because I did kiss a lot of frogs before I found my prince.
What about you?
Well, I just had just moved up here, and I stayed across the hall from her, and I just got to a point that, you know, I like to help more in anything as far as family and friends and everything. That's one thing about my family is we are a very tight family. If you're in the Johnson family, and you understand that there's nothing more than family.
Yeah.
So in my family, I'm the fourth generation of my family.
Okay.
My daughter is the fifth generation, and my grandkids are the sixth generation. So there's a lot of us. There's like over 100 of us in the family. So my grandmother, she raised us well. She made sure that ain't no woman gonna cook for you, so you need to get up and cook with us. So that's what I did a lot of stuff before when I met her. So I used to go over there, cook for her, clean up, watch the kids, different things. So, and we just made that bond. She always tells me, I don't know what you're doing, but we ain't getting that.
That's funny.
When you're broken and a man is coming to you, and because he had already made up his mind, like he had told me, I think a year after we started dating, like, I had saw you and I had made up my mind, and a lot of men in the complex had told me, oh man, you don't want to talk to her, she don't like me, she don't talk to me. And he was like, no, she's the one. And he was trying to do, he would cook for me. If I said I was hungry, he would go in there and cook. If I said that I was tired or I needed to, like, I would go soak my feet because my feet hurt, he'd just grab my feet and start rubbing. He would just jump in, and no matter what I said I needed, he would just jump in and do it for me and take care of it for me. And I never had anyone to do that for me. And it was a lot of church women that, I mean, he even had come to the point where he had said, where are you going on one Sunday morning? I was like, oh, I'm going to church. Oh, I'm at church. I want to go. Okay, well, I'm getting ready to get the car, and I'm going. If you want to go, you better make it to the car.
Yeah.
And he did. And he would go with me and my kids to church every Sunday. And I never thought anything of it. But there, and we would get to church, and after a couple of times, three different mothers in the church came to me and said, that's your husband. And I'm like, yeah, right. But sure enough, one day we were talking, and I had gotten hurt by one of my kids' dads, and because I thought, oh yeah, I'll get back with him, this must be the husband God has for me. And I got hurt, and I was crying on his shoulder, and he was like, I you know, they don't know what they had.
Wow.
And truly, when they say one man's trash is another man's treasure or something like that, he was like, I knew the diamond you were. I'm just waiting for you. And I was like, wait, what? And after that, my rock. He's my best friend. He's my husband. Yeah, he's just, yeah, everything. Like, even today, day, someone was telling me at church, we were looking at each other from across the room, and mm-hmm. we were smiling at each other and waving, and they were like, oh, y'all newlyweds? 12 years, together, 3+. And they were like, y'all act like y'all newlyweds. We have weathered some big storms, mm-hmm. but we always have said that we put God in the. We truly believe God was our foundation. Mm-hmm. So when we come through a storm, or when there's been trials in our marriage, we go to Christ.
Yeah.
We pray, and then we ask God for guidance, and each time He's kept us and made us stronger. And so now when I pray about my marriage, or I pray for us, that's the one thing I pray for is find us together in love.
Amen.
So that we can serve each other in the kingdom. And I appreciate the fact that my husband has the heart of a servant and serves like he does.
Yeah. So what...
to every woman out there that's single, that's looking for a husband, I would definitely go to God and ask God to direct you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a book about Boaz.
Mm.
Because that story is kind of how we were.
Wow.
Sorry, we grandbaby. That's the story that we were. She was out in the field, she was doing her thing, and Boaz saw her, and he knew, and then when she realized it, she sat at his feet, she served him. We do that for each other, and I find it a true blessing that I'm really glad that I sought out God and asked God to show me the direction and show me the man that he had for me. And then I also prayed for my husband, even before I knew who he was. I prayed for him, and I just asked God that whatever he was going through, to cover him and keep him. It was important because God is my husband. I may not have known, but one of the mothers told me I needed to prepare myself as a wife and get ready to be a wife. Yes. A lot of times, as women, we don't prepare. We just think, the marriage is going to be great. Marriage is gonna be wonderful. Then the party is over, and now we're married, but we don't know how to deal with each other.
Yes.
So I would just say having a prayer life and seeking God through the whole process, and then it don't stop then, even after that.
For sure. What do you? Is there? If there is, things that you wish you knew. Or was thought before getting married?
There's nothing that I wouldn't change the things that I know about him.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact of his service heart.
Mm-hmm.
I love how giving he is. Nope, he was up front, took me home to meet his whole big family. That was a little intimidating because I have a big family, but his is huge. I wouldn't change anything. He was an open book. He was just like, he guarded his heart. He told me he was guarding his heart when it came to marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But... I mean, he needed a little persuading for the marriage part. My dad. I can tell him.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he was more afraid that he didn't want it to. I don't know, babe. I can't explain it.
I didn't want it to be like my last dad. I mean, before that, I was married for 7 years, and I pretty much did everything. As far as brought in the money, make sure the kids got their stuff together, there's the cooking and cleaning, doctor's appointments, and it was like, I was just tired. I didn't want my kids growing up the same way I was growing up. So that's why I moved up here. I'm going to take my kids with me. Well, I wanted to. I was forced to. Okay. She wanted a break, so I gave her a break. So I had the kids up here for a minute.
So I don't see, and we talked about it before he brought the kids up. So for me, no, there's nothing that I would change different that I would want to. What about you? Is there anything you would want to know before? I think we were pretty open to each other. We just told each other how, you know, he knew things about me. And we're honest with each other. We tell each other, like, every day.
That's awesome. If each of you could describe your relationship as it is right now, what are a few words you will use? And why do you feel that way about your relationship?
Awesome. The reason why I say it's awesome is because, you know, I can always come home, find out what's going on, and we just pretty much talk about anything. And if you want to go somewhere, we all like, okay, let's go out. Let's go on a date. So I'm not a dating person. But I have no problem going out to different restaurants, trying something different. I think, like, my birthday had just passed. They wanted to take me to Fogo de Chao. I said, well, I'm not really a birthday person. I'm just not out here to see another year.
Yeah.
But I thought you'll do it on our own time. So I made reservations like 2 months ago. But yeah, I like going to different places and trying different things and just spending more time with her as much as possible.
Awesome.
I would have to say, loving, blessed,
nice.
And awesome. I still find myself, I can look at him walk in a room and he brings a smile to my face. Or thinking about the fact that, oh my gosh, my husband will be downstairs to pick me up. In 15 minutes, I cannot wait to see him. I still feel like that little girlish feeling that you get the butterflies you get in the beginning of your relationship. Here will be 12 years this year, and I'm still that way. Like,
That's awesome.
I love him. I love the man that God has made just for me.
I love that.
And love how much he loves me. That is means more to me than anything I could ask for.
That's awesome. What is the most important thing to you in your marriage? But if you had to pick one very important thing,
I would pick trust.
Trust?
Trust in our communication.
So having communication, open communication, to know where you're both at.
Yes.
What have been some of your challenges since you got together, and what are some of the things that you've put in place to work out those challenges or to work through those challenges?
Communication, for me, because Dre does not like confrontation.
Okay.
And you know, as women, we just want to harp, you know, we're going to go back on it. That's me. I'm going to keep talking about it because I don't think you get the point of how upset I am about the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would say, okay, babe, I understand and I'm sorry. And that would be the get me. I would be like, still talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Still, you know, and he'd be like, babe, I understand. And then the one thing, like, we have, like, I bought a plaque one time that we were very upset with each other, and I posted it over our bed. And it says, life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the number of times I take my breath away. It reminds me that no matter the storm that I'm going through, there's love in that storm. Like, just because something happens doesn't mean that's the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know, we now just, you know, we now pray and we now both, I think now that the older we've gotten, we talk to each other and we've learned each other's love language. We've learned,
that's awesome.
Like, I've learned how he likes to be, how he is. Like, I had to learn that it's not that he's ignoring me. He understands that I'm hurt, and he doesn't like to see me hurt. So if I cry and he leaves the room, it's not because he doesn't want to look at my face. It's because he feels that I'm hurt, and he wants to fix it for me. Dre is a big fixer. Like, if I tell him, like, oh my God, this is the worst day ever, and I just wanted to have some ice cream, and da-da-da-da-da, you'll go get the ice cream. I don't want you to go get the ice cream. I didn't want you to fix it. I just wanted you to hear me.
Uh-huh.
But he's had to learn that for me. Like, I think that the biggest thing for us was to learn each other's love language.
Okay.
And then once we've learned our love languages, be able to talk and communicate with one another.
Definitely. That's awesome. So, can you give us, like, some tips, advice, to anyone who is now in the position that you were in before you met? And what are some things that would be helpful to either work on to prepare for that, to prepare for a relationship, I mean?
I would say for me, I was in a relationship for 13 years, and then got into another relationship that was for 4 years, that was not 3 years, that was really bad. And so I looked at all men as being people and the same, and that's not the case.
Yeah.
I had to really search out and find out what made me happy and what I needed to be happy.
Okay.
And I had to heal from the broken places.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't love anyone until I healed from the broken places.
That's for sure.
And so I would suggest that, you know, if you're thinking about really marrying somebody, you really gotta. For me, the biggest thing, and Mother Opal Johnson told me, is is to prepare.
Yes.
Prepare for your husband. Prepare for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do all that prep work for that big pretty party, but you didn't prepare for the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So I got into my secret place and I started asking God, like, to show me, to help me heal in certain areas.
Okay.
Because that I didn't want to take that baggage into my marriage and then I'd be in a position where I'm on my fourth marriage or fifth marriage. I wanted to be married once, and so I made it a point that I had always gone from one relationship to the next relationship. So in this time around, I wasn't really focused on marriage. I wasn't focused on getting a man. I was focused on God heal me. And
yes.
Then God, when you're ready, you send my Boaz.
Amen. What about you, Brother Andre?
The understanding, listen, don't always get on the defense. Be open minded, go in with an open heart, and seek God. Because He only wants to tell you right from wrong, and if that person just needs someone just to listen to, be the ear, be the shoulder, be the eyes, be the healer.
Definitely.
So much.
Yeah, because that was big. That's a big one. Oh my gosh, I forgot about that. Because that's one of the things that he told me, that when I kept asking him, why was he being nice to me? Why was he always around? And he said, I just want to love you through your pain. And he did. He helped me heal. He was patient with me. He prayed for me.
That's awesome. Thank you all so much. We're going like 30 minutes. But yeah, I really appreciate it. The goal for me is to empower other single people, because I know nowadays is the Hallmark type love story that most people expect. And then when they get into the marriage, then it doesn't work out because you have all these expectations that you have before you get in a relationship. And for me, what I was hoping to have through this podcast is to have different people share their experience in relationships, and for that to be a stepping stool for those who are going into relationship, but also for those who are in a relationship to learn from it. It could be a funny story that, I went through that and I know how that feels, but this is how we went about it. Kind of like a reminder that life goes on, but it takes work to be in a relationship, and having God as the forefront of everything to push us into kingdom marriages.
And
having an example out there, because growing up, not everybody has the example to look up to. So
you're right. Because growing up, my parents were together, but I don't think, but they got divorced when I turned 14, 15. And so, we didn't see what our grandkids see. Like, our grandkids now tell us, we had our oldest granddaughter tell us, Sugar Mom, you really love him. And I was like, who? And she said, Papa. And I said, yeah. She goes, I love your love. Because she sees us, we make a point that if he leaves the house or if I'm leaving him, we kiss each other goodbye. And we say, see you later. Like, we make sure that we connect with each other. We tell each other goodbye. We kiss each other goodnight. Like, we don't go to bed angry.
That's a big...
You have to make it a point that you you are going to push through those hard times. And I hate to have to say this, but as Dr. Malin would tell us, don't feel like it.
Yes.
Because there's going to come those times when you just don't feel like love is, but you still have to do it. And it will manifest itself and grow into something really beautiful later on down the line for you that we're so excited. We can't wait to be empty nesters.
That's awesome. So be intentional. What are, if you had two or three things that you want to leave with us, each of you?
For me,
okay, everyone, and this would be a wrap. Thank you for tuning in to Beyond Storytime. And you heard the Johnsons. Love is intentional. Be patient, listen, and love with all you have. Great to spend some time with you all, and we will talk to you on 4th Sunday of March. Have an amazing day, and God bless.